Tonight, we have a major teaching by Father Rick. The title of tonight's major teaching is, Am I Building Community or Tearing It Down?
The more I thought about this talk, the more I kept coming up with ideas. I don't know what I'm going to say tonight, but I hope none of you have to get up early tomorrow. That's all I can tell you. Today is the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. It was started with St. Helen going to the Holy Land looking for the cross, finding it, putting it on display, just revealing the power of the cross. She found it by having a woman who was ill touch the three crosses that were found. And the two that she touched that were not the cross didn't help her. But the third cross that she touched, she was miraculously healed. Later on, that cross was put on display in Jerusalem for people to come, and they came from everywhere under the sun to honor that cross. The thing is that, you know, we think of the cross, we think of, you know, Jesus suffering. And God has an infinite love for us and for his son. Last Monday, I had to go to the dentist. I got a clean bill of health. But when I got home, I found that my one cat had died. His name was Shorty because he didn't have a tail. He had feline immune deficiency. He was really my house cat. Basically, we watched television together with my house dog. He either was on my lap one way or the other, or sitting on the armrest of my chair when we were together. When I went home and found that he had died alone, I was terribly upset because he was a very loyal cat. And you're probably saying, well, so what's the point? This is a cat, an animal, but he was loyal, for whatever reasons, important to me. And as badly as I felt about not being there when he died, I can't imagine what God the Father felt with his tremendous love for his son to see him go through what he went through. He had an infinite love for his son Jesus. It's amazing that really, at that point, he didn't destroy the world just because of his pain. I don't know if God the Father feels pain, but at least humanly speaking, to see this. But he also was well aware of the fact that Jesus did this, not because he didn't care about his Father, but because he cared so much for us. And I think that hear what we, even the words that people said today, that God loves us immeasurably and he wants us to trust him. We have to look at the world and see what is happening in the world. I'm sure that there have been people from Lighthouse here who don't come anymore for one reason or another. A lot of them dropped out because of the pandemic. But lots of people have dropped out of religion. You go to churches now, we have Catholic schools, but you can count the number of grade school students that are there on Sunday because people just, they aren't concerned. And we look at our world and we say, you know, we may blame the Democrats, we may blame the Republicans, we may blame people in general. But at the heart, it's not those people, it's the devil. Satan has this tremendous desire to destroy our society, destroy our understanding of God's love for us, to destroy what it means to be community, to be a people that come together. This is what he's about. God has been calling us for thousands of years, but more, even more specifically, now, to remain faithful. To be that hardcore kernel of believers, no matter what goes on in the world, no matter if our whole society collapses, our world is in chaos, he is coming along and saying, I want you to remain faithful. I want you to be strong. You know, sometimes I hear people say, well, we're in the last stage. And I think what they mean by that is that in a short time, God is going to bring everything to an end. I don't believe that. I believe that we are in the last age. But I have to believe that what God is doing is allowing the devil to do his work. And in the end, reveal himself in such a way that there will be a tremendous rebirth in the Christian faith. I don't know if it'll all be Catholic, but it will be a tremendous rebirth in our faith. And I believe, personally, that just because we've had thousands of years preparing for the birth of Christ, and we've had couple of thousand years working through the reality of God being in our midst with Jesus and the Eucharist and what have you, I don't believe that once that happens that God's going to say, okay, that's it. I think God wants us to experience this world in a way that he always anticipated. That is, that we will be a people loving God and serving God and being faithful to God in numbers that have not been seen. I mean, there may be a few bad apples still running around, but I have a feeling that God wants to show the devil that he lost and that there will be this tremendous rebirth, and it might last for hundreds of years. Maybe it'll last for thousands of years. I don't know. But I believe that it's not going to be something where God just says, okay, a few people turn back to me, poof, that's it, we're all going to heaven or whatever. No, I think God wants to establish here a reality that thumbs his nose at the devil and says, I am God, and I will have the world I desire. But for that to happen, we ourselves have to be a people that know how to live, that know how to trust God. That we come along and we don't follow society and say, well, I want it my way. I want to do things my way. That's not what God calls us to do. Maybe it made a good song for Frank Sinatra, but it's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to be running around and, you know, I mean, they talk about the Pope predicting heresy or whatever. It doesn't matter. What matters is, are we going to be the loyal community that God is looking for? Are we going to be faithful to him? Are we going to do it because not only that we love God, but that we really want to love one another and to care about one another and not worry about so many things? A lot of times, we like to talk about people. That's just the way it is. We like to talk about their weaknesses. We like to talk about their failures. That isn't what God wants us to do. I think I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again anyway. Priests like to gossip as much as anybody. And I was with a pastor that used to have priest gatherings. He was a very social guy, and he was great at it. But he would have priests in, you know, there might be 10 or 12 or so priests that would come to the rectory and they would party. Invariably, one of the priests would bring up some other priest and badmouth him. He does this or he fails here or he's crappy here or whatever he would say, you know. And somebody else would, yeah, that's how, you know, he did this and did that. And somebody else would come along and say, this priest would not go in and say, you shouldn't do that. That's not nice, you know. He would come in and he'd say, well, you know, maybe that's true. But old Father so-and-so was dependable in this. And he would go and start talking about his good qualities. And he would turn the conversation around without condemning anybody, without judging, but just by coming along and saying, he's a good guy. And I saw him do that time and time again. And I was impressed that he did it without putting airs on or saying, I'm better than you, or condemning any of the other priests that were there. He would just come along and change the whole atmosphere by coming along and saying, hey, he's a good priest. I remember this, or I know I could depend on him for that, or whatever. And you would hear people say, yeah. And they would start saying the good things about it. And nobody was upset. Nobody got ticked off or anything. It was just that he changed how people heard. And I found that that was really a genuine way to love the priesthood and to love the body of Christ in the way that he used to do. I was never that good at it. I tried a couple times, but he just had a smooth way of bringing it up and changing the atmosphere. And I think sometimes we have to look at ourselves and say, where do I do that? Do I do it at the church I go to? Do I talk to other people about the pastor or something? I mean, I had an usher come up the other day to me in a mass like that, and he says, some people come up to me and they're complaining about the people that are bringing their kids to church because the kids are screaming and yelling, and they don't want them to come anymore. And I said, well, that's not what we're about. I'm not going to say anything, you know. If they come up, say, the children are allowed to be here too, just because, sorry, you can't hear the homily, but trust that, you know, God loves them, and probably what the priest's saying isn't that worthwhile, or he wouldn't have the kids scream, you know. What the heck? So, anyway, but sometimes we just do stuff because it pleases us. Not because it's necessarily good or valuable or worthwhile. So when Jesus comes along and says, if you love me, you will walk with me. You will listen to me. You will follow me. It's not following him in any way that we want. It's opening ourselves up to him and understanding that as people of God and as a community of faith that we have here, that we are called to always be building up the body of Christ. In Monday's first reading at Mass, Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and basically he's saying, what the heck is going on at your place? You know, they were blessed with all kinds of charismatic gifts, but he was writing this letter for the first time because there was all this infighting. Everybody was calling everybody else names, and one person was saying, I'm better than you are because I have this gift and all you have is this. You know, and I have this gift and I heal people, or I have prophecies, or I can speak in tongues. All you're doing is supervising, you know. And Paul comes along and says, that's not it. He says, what gifts you have, what God wants you to have. He says, as a matter of fact, the more important gifts are the gifts that are not so showy. The gifts of leadership. The gifts of ministry. The gifts where we reach out to others and call others to faith. It's not just speaking in tongues or working miracles or having prophecies. He says those are on the bottom. He says if you really want to be the best, pray for the better gifts. And stop this infighting that you have and trying to take the first places and eating all the food before the poor get there and all this kind of stuff. I mean, he's coming along and saying, become the body of Christ. And I think that's as true for us today as then. That if we're going to call ourselves a community of faith, if we're going to call ourselves people who love God, then we're going to have to look at how, not only how we treat one another here, but how we treat people outside, how we deal with them. And there are many, many, many people out there who are hurt. We may not like them. But we have to make a choice of what we're going to do. Are we going to further their hurt or help them? Some years back, again, another story I've told because I've been a priest for 50 years. But nonetheless, a story of a couple that had some young children, and they moved into this house next door, neighborhood grouch. And he was a royal pain in the neck. Some had a lower opinion of it, but nonetheless, he was a real pain. And after dealing with him for a number of years and finding that he was just, they decided to sell their house. They said, we'll get away from here because this guy's a pain in the neck. And they were sitting down talking about it. And suddenly the husband and father said, you know, if we do this, all we're going to do is move away and bring another family in who's going to have to deal with this guy. I don't think we should sell a house. I think we should do something about this guy next door. Find out why he hates kids and hates us and everything. So he started a thing with this guy next door just by saying, when he saw him, hi, Joe. The guy would run into the house. When he was in his backyard and that guy came out and saw him, he'd walk back in the house. He didn't want to talk to him. He did that for almost a year until one day he walked out and said, hi, Joe, and the guy said, hi. He was astounded by that. He didn't say anything else, but he said, hi. And he continued to do that. And after a while, when they were in the backyards, he was able to get him to have a conversation. It took a while, a couple years, but he did it. And after a while, he said to Joe, would you like to come over for dinner sometime? No, I don't need to do that. Kept asking him until one day he said, yeah, I wouldn't mind it. I'd like it. So he came over and had dinner. Him, his wife, Joe, and the kids. After a while, and they had a couple of these dinners, and he saw the kids outside, Joe kind of liked these young kids. And one day they asked Joe if he would like to babysit them. And he said, yeah. They lived there for a number of years and their kids grew up and he was their favorite babysitter. It's what we choose to do. God is always calling us not to tear down. Not to tear down one another. Not to tear down people outside. Not to look down on them. Not to treat them poorly. But to try to raise them up a bit. To encourage them to come along and say, I don't care who you are, you're worthwhile. This is what God wants from us. Because somewhere along the line, when God decides to make that decision to bring about the fullness of His love and life to this world, He will be using communities like this. He will touch them in such ways that people will be seeing signs that are unbelievable. Jesus says this. I will do things that will knock people over. And they will come flocking to me. But there has to be this hard kernel of people who truly love God no matter what and want to manifest this love to others. Someday, few years, 10 years, 20 years, who knows? God has His plan, but I believe that one day God will be calling all people on this earth to a whole new experience of His love. And it's going to be so powerful that the world is going to be changed dramatically. And I don't think that's going to be the end of the world. I think God will want to enjoy that for many years to come, because that has been his goal from the very beginning, to create a world that would love him and who would serve him and who would love each other without condemnation, without judgment, but wholeheartedly, by recognizing us as children of God, worthy of being loved.